Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Bobby Welch here.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat Sherlock.
Well, Pat, these are always fun. I'm excited about this one. Today's topic is how to eliminate the peaks and valleys of origination volume. Man, this is the holy grail, isn't it, for an originator?
I would agree. And our industry, similar to the housing industry, boom and bust has been our past.
Yes. I always joke with people that you are always either wide awake, blinking at the ceiling at night because you don't know how you're going to get one more loan through this month, or you are staring, laying awake at night, looking at the ceiling, wondering where you're going to get your next loan from. It just feels like that can be the experience for many people.
Yeah, it's the classic problem. Well, it's probably a good time to talk about, you know, what is the peak and valley? What causes this problem? And then I think talking about solution sets of how you prevent that and make it more consistent. So what are some of the things that you see about what causes this peak and valley? Obviously, we can't control interest rates. So, you know, it is what it is. But peak and valleys are really a function of a couple things from your viewpoint.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and that's a great point. Let's put market conditions to the side because we don't control those. We can insulate ourselves from those somewhat, but we don't control them. I look at this topic a lot like I look at other important goals in my life, like health, for example. And, you know, that you can have peaks and valleys in health. You can have peaks and valleys at work. And, you know, what causes it is that we forget some natural laws. You know, and one of the big natural laws that I think comes to mind first when you look at, well, why do I have such a great month and the next month is the law of atrophy. You know, nothing just sits still. Something's either growing or in essence, it's dying. I mean, I don't know. And forgetting that that's just the way things are is, you know, mistake number one that you've got to find out how to build the antidote into your business. Do you see that?
Well, I think you're exactly right that I think a lot of what you're talking about is that this whole issue of inconsistent performance, I mean, that's really what we're talking about because peaks and valleys, you don't tend to see them at the top originator level. You do see it at other lower levels. And I think there's a couple things that I see why that happens, and we can kind of talk about the solution sets afterwards. But I think the problem is that for sure, the number one is that the originator has stopped selling. And if there's any rule of thumb as a salesperson is you always have to be selling. And when I'm talking about selling, I'm talking about prospecting. And I know we've done many podcasts on prospecting, but the fundamental difference between your top performers and your bottom performers is the top performers are consistently prospecting. So I think issue number one is the performers that have this inconsistent pattern have really stopped selling. And I think that translates into what ends up happening a month or two down the road.
Yep. Well, and you know, on one of our other podcasts, I mean, this is important. Even if you've got, let's say you've got 15, 20 realtors that love using you and send you regular business. On another podcast, you shared an interesting statistic. I want to say the attrition rate of real estate agents leaving the business, even the seasoned ones, you weren't talking about like first year guys who are like, hey, this isn't for me.
Right.
Was that 14%? Am I remembering the right number?
No, 14% it was right. And that, again, in fact, it ties together with your natural law is that any salesperson, whether you're in mortgages or other industries, that these outside events like retirement, they get sick, that you're right, that you have a good memory. It's 14%. And so essentially what happens over 3 or 4 years, you're going to lose your whole referral source.
Yeah.
Math tells you that, you know, is a key reason if you're not replacing them on a consistent basis, which I think leads to my second problem that I see that when you're looking at inconsistent performance or this peak and valley, is this issue that your top originators versus your bottom originators, the top originators will know their selling math numbers. They'll know how many phone calls they need to make, how many face-to-face meetings they need to have, and they'll know how many presentations they need to have. So what I'm saying is the problem number two is a key problem where you don't know you're selling math.
Yes. Yeah, you're dead on. Yeah, because if you don't know your math, you don't know your the activity levels. Because one of the things that I see get in people's way is they can get overwhelmed by the activity that they haven't even started yet. You know, so, and I've heard coaching programs out there be like, you need to be dialing for 4 hours a day. You know, hey, maybe. And there's certainly times where I've dialed for 4 hours a day when I'm doing sprints and things. But if you've got the right strategies and you've got the right tools, I know seasoned loan officers that are with good pipelines of business that are able to market to their listing agents, for example. And the number of deals coming in introduces them to enough new agents that they can literally just on their own business leverage those new relationships into even more referrals and set 3-4 appointments a week off of that business that's coming in, and they don't spend more than an hour a week doing it. Now, I'm not saying that so that you're like, oh, I only have to do an hour a week. I'm doing that because the new guy may have to do 4, the seasoned person may have to do 1. There's not a set number, and you don't know what your number is unless you do the work that you just talked about. And that's why it's so important.
Right. I mean, I think that having your own personal, I call selling dashboard, where you know and have tracked how many calls that you had to make versus how many translated into face-to-face. And then finally, how many, you know, translate into presentations. And they're kind of the basics. And too often what I see is the peak and valley is really caused by they don't know how to correct it because they don't really know their own numbers. I think they think that it's kind of like by chance that things happen. And that's not the case. There's a statistical relationship that translates your effort, whatever it was, into what's going to be your output, which is obviously getting a new referral source or a new customer. So number two is, from my view, the selling math has to be known. And if you haven't done that in the past, I can't emphasize enough that that has to be a priority for you to recognize that you're going to track and measure this effort, so you know how much effort you have to give. And I think what you're saying as a practical example is true, that, you know, some people have to give 4 hours, other people have to give, you know, an hour. And but what that is really dependent upon you understanding your own math.
Yep. Yep. Your own math, your own tools, your own situation. Very great point.
Right. Yep. And I think the third mistake that I see that really does differentiate the top originators from others is that they understand that selling, it's better to have a consistent, frequent, quality effort than to rely on this idea that, oh, I'll do it when I have time and let's make the sprint happen. And the reality is steady and consistent. Think the turtle versus the rabbit. Okay, that's what this is about. And that eliminates the net impact is to eliminate a peak and valley selling performance because you are doing it consistently. And I think that means from a practical standpoint, determining your work week, being proactive on how your work week is going to flow. Prospecting gets eliminated so often because you're working the pipeline and your day catches away from you. So I would tell you that the third solution is a steady and consistent. It's better to work 30 minutes consistently every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, as an example, versus, well, I'm going to do 10 hours on, you know, 3 weeks from now, which is not realistic.
Yeah. In fact, sometimes those big outlandish goals, that's just a procrastination event waiting to happen. I mean, who wants to prospect for 10 hours? So you're going to find every excuse not to. Yeah. So slow and sure. The Japanese call that kaizen, just slow, steady progress. The whole idea of the tortoise and the shell, you know, a subset idea just right underneath that, almost like a bullet underneath it, is that when you do fall down, when you do find that, oh man, you know, I meant to prospect for 2 hours today and I didn't, don't walk out of the office with a complete bust. You know, you may not be able to recover and do your last 2 hours, but you can make 5 phone calls. Right. You could sit back down long enough to make 5 calls, and those 5 calls could get you 1 to 2 more appointments. And I've actually had coaching clients that I say do that, and then they hit the jackpot. It's like they get 5 out of 5. So with just very little work at the end of the day, because they've refused to take 100% bust, then they've been able to salvage and still leave with a sales win. And so always insist even on the smallest of actions on the days, you know, just hit reset and move forward.
Right. Well, I think, you know, it's interesting that you use the number 5, because that's certainly the same number that I use. And it applies not just to prospecting for originators, but also for managers and recruiting. My view is everyone can do 5 contacts in 30 minutes.
Yes.
You know, whether that's in the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, there's no magic point. But again, making that consistent outreach is the end result, is that the boom and bust cycle, you are really managing through it, and really your efforts, it really does come down to with selling, is that your efforts on a daily basis determine really kind of what you've done from a past calling effort. So there is, you know, if you're not making these outreaches, then certainly you're going to be a function of losing at some point, as we've already mentioned, some part of your referral sources are just going to get out of the business. So you always have to be replacing them. And I think the best strategy in eliminating boom or bust is a strategy of consistent outreach that ties together with putting a dashboard together of what are my numbers look like? What do I have to do? You know, if I'm using 3 realtors versus I'm losing 10 realtors, well, I have to have a different strategy based upon where I'm at. So again,
that's,
I think,
right,
peak and valleys are a function of ceasing to sell. And I think that is corrected by having consistent effort that is tracked, so you know what works and what doesn't.
I'll tell you something else to consider too, because modern technology, for all of its upside, has created a sales liability. And we don't always define loan officer productivity the way we need to define it. You know, if I'm a loan officer, you know, cutting the amount of time I spend on a loan down by an hour, and then, you know, emailing my borrower and emailing my real estate agent and emailing the listing agent, and automating that so that I quote unquote save time, that's not actually the most productive route if you measure productivity the way I measure it, which is how many loans are you closing each month?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that automation is bad is because in the old days, what we knew is that you actually could sell during your loan process. You know, that if you're doing 30-day closes and that listing agent almost has to call you back 4 times during that 30 days. I mean, how often are you in a position to be where an agent pretty much has to return your call? And then if you learn to sell during those calls discreetly, quietly, you know, through serving and, you know, setting up a future opportunity, then the loan process becomes a selling process.
Mm-hmm.
And you can set appointments and you can create new sales opportunities doing the work that needs to be done anyway to deliver great service on the loan. But in order to do that, you have to realize that, you know, a lot of times when you sit down with somebody, the things that you're cutting out in order to quote unquote save time to make time for prospecting, I reevaluate that. Take a look at if you're maybe walking by a prime asset.
Well, I think that's a really great point. I think there's selling opportunities where you may not have recognized them, which is what you're really talking about. And I would say for the originators that have teams, I think you have to be constantly relooking at your process. And I do think from a team-based effort, which is what typically you see at better producers, that they have that. What is actually a selling activity versus what is an administrative activity? That's a question that's an age-old question that every originator has to really answer constantly. And I do think that a lot of times we get assigned we assign duties to ourselves that really don't answer the question of, is this an effective selling activity? And a selling activity, from my definition, is an activity that you can leverage. An administrative activity, you do it once it's done, you know, there's no way you can leverage. But what you're talking about, which is a great idea, is that you have to deal with listing agents anyway. So why wouldn't you use that as an opportunity to get other referrals and other type of potential customers for you? So I think you're really smart by essentially kind of reevaluating what is a selling activity versus what is not.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I've got one definition for selling activity. It's really easy. Mm-hmm. It's a sales activity if it's moving you closer to a face-to-face or a one-on-one appointment or a loan. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I mean, that's, yeah. And I think when we're working the pipeline, which is what every originator is saying all their time goes to, many of the activities in working the pipeline are really not selling activities, but potentially time wasters. Your day's gone by, but the reality is that you haven't used it the best that you can.
Yep. And here's the thing, and some people on who are listening might get a little mad at me right now, but it's okay. You know, get mad, but at least think about what I'm saying for a minute as you get upset, because I'm going to call you out on the time thing. You know, if you're doing 6, 7, 10 loans a month and you don't have an assistant, I get that your time is jammed. But the reality is most loan officers aren't closing that volume. Most loan officers are closing closer to 2. And they'll still tell you they don't have time. Mm-hmm. And we work 160 to 165 hours a month. And that's if you're doing a 40-hour work week. And I've tracked with clients before, how much time are they really spending on loans? Like really, really, really. And we did it very much like an attorney. Little hash marks on a piece of paper next to the client's name in 6-minute increments. So every return call, every return email, hash, 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 hash. And on average, what we found is that it ranges depending on the company and the loan type and the loan officer's style. You know, so an FHA purchase would take a little bit more, for example, than a conventional, you know, 800 FICO refi. But, you know, those variables in there, 7 to 10 hours, 7 to 10 hours total. Now, the one thing that I will give the listeners who are only doing 2 or 3 loans who claim that they don't have time is that a lot of those 7 to 10 hours are interruptions because the pipeline's not managed correctly and because you do piecemeal work via email and those interruptions reset your focus, you know, so that they basically say if you're interrupted once every 20 minutes, your productivity falls by half. So I get that that 7 to 10 hours has a much bigger impact because we don't always work those loans right. But the reality is if you're doing 3 loans a month, on average, let's call it 30 hours a month, 20% of your time is spent on those activities. And, you know, that's the cold, hard facts. So you got to be honest with yourself in this area. You've got, you know, if you can at least sit back and be honest that you can do better in this area and that you might be sliding in a little bit later than if you had a normal job and that you might be sliding back from lunch a little bit different than if you had a normal job and, you know, leaving a little bit early. And, you know, if you can't admit that stuff, then, you know, you're toast.
Right. Well, no, I certainly agree with you that what I see, the number one problem that drives inconsistent performance is this issue of not prospecting, not that they're not spending time doing work, but the work is really more administrative than anything else. And at the end of the day, having a perfect loan, does that make really sense when you really have to recognize that, you know, this is an issue of quantity and how perfect you want that loan to be by you handling every part of it. Well, I think it's a good time maybe to summarize kind of what we think about this elimination of peak and valley. I mean, my points would be don't ever stop selling. And I think that's really what Bobby was talking about, that we have time, but we spend it on non-selling activities. I think the second thing is to track your numbers, have your own dashboard. What does it take? Maybe you're magic on the phone. And so you might only have to do a couple calls where somebody else has to do, you know, 20 calls. And I think the other idea, it's all about the way you correct a peak and valley business cycle is to have consistent and frequent outreach. That's much better than inconsistent effort done every once in a while. Any thoughts, Bobby, that you might have?
No, I think you nailed it. And, you know, just redefine your productivity. It's not about time saved and other activities. It's about the number of loans generated.
Right.
That's the sign of a productive loan officer. I think that's a good start so that you can view your daily things a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank everybody today and certainly for listening and certainly tune in for our next podcast. And thanks a lot, Bobby. And everybody have a great week.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your National MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.